Welcome to the Sunday Poems. I'm Ken Hayda. Thank you for joining me today. This is episode number 156. Today I want to return to Pablo Neruda. I've read him before. He's a poet that I return to frequently in my own personal reading. He is, of course, world famous, one of the most influential poets in the history of the world, arguably. The Chilean diplomat, a leftist, a politician, world traveler, lover, winner of the Nobel Prize in 1971. I'm reading from some of his late and posthumous work collected in the book World's End, translated by William O'Daly. I like Neruda for many reasons. I think his ability to combine organic images with political realities is first rate, and the personal that comes into the poem does not intrude into the poem. It accentuates the poem. You can see the personality in the poem being shaped by world events and by the nature of the place that he is envisioning and visiting. He owns his mistakes. His poetry owns his mistakes, clarifies his vision, establishes his being in the organic and in the cosmos. He's truly one of the greats. The book World's End is kind of pessimistic. It's a frank admission of the modern world's chaotic dance to extinction, toward extinction in the 20th century with our wars, world wars, Vietnam, and political revolutions and oppression by dictators in South America and indeed around the world. And yet, the beauty with which he renders this chaos, the poet, the human in the midst of it all, and by implication, I think all of us must be in the midst of this. So I want to read four of his poems today, and then I want to conclude on a happier note. The first one I want to read is, he titles Ars Poetica, number two. Ars Poetica, of course, is a poetic subgenre, a poem that explains the art of poetry. Ars Poetica, number two. I have not discovered anything. Everything was already discovered by the time I passed through this world. If I return to these parts, I shall ask the discoverers to leave something for me, a volcano with no name, an unknown madrigal, the root of a secret river. I was always so adventurous, I never had an adventure, and the things I did discover were inside of me, such that I let down John, Peter, and Mary, because no matter how hard I tried, I was not able to leave my house. With intense envy, I contemplated the ceaseless sowing of seed, the cycle of the satellites, the added weight of skeletons. And in painting, I saw come and go so many fascinating styles, I barely got up to speed before that style had passed. I love the implication here that more important than following an artistic trend is to ground yourself in your own sense of observation and sentiments of what you are observing and discovering. And it's a truly modern statement, because much of the world is discovered. So the real frontier is within us, in our own interior. That's what the human race is yet to perfect. Is that not true? Maybe we need to colonize ourselves. And now I want to read a poem titled Solitude. When solitude arrives and you are not used to it, closed things uncover themselves, trunks that you thought were dead, small bottles that carry the warning of an invariable skull, some locks open, pots of the soul lift their lids. But we do not like knowing. We do not love discovering the person we used to be, facing the essence that lived inside us, caught, waiting round with the mirror. It is better to go to the movies or converse with women or read the history of Egypt or encourage complacency, numismatics, or the church. Those who devote themselves to God from time to time, they are saved. Covered with medieval ointment, they return to their offices or take a gust of hell or use divine toothpaste. Those of us who do not love God, as God does not love anyone, arrive in the countryside early in Rumay, close to Melipilla, and we reflect on ourselves. We deny ourselves with fervor. With patience, we split apart and come back together again, so to go on being ourselves. The wind. But there is nothing like the wind in the rugged mountains, the irrigation water in the cold canals, the motionless space, the light filling to the brim the wine glass of the world, and the green scent of the earth. For that reason, I have to go back to so many places in the future to find myself and examine myself without rest, with the moon my only witness, and then to whistle with happiness, stepping on stones and lumps of earth, with nothing to do other than exist, with no family but the road. The music. If they did not show me the earth, if only to travel over it, if I never entered with the plow, if I did not live with the clods of earth, nor sleep on the barley, I could not speak with violins because the music is of the earth. But the waste of my greatest love is of the earth, and the future is earth. All things are earth. Bread is earth. Silence. The fire is dust that burns. Water is the earth that flows. And all dreams, night after night, come from the depths of the earth. Four poems from Pablo Neruda's posthumous collection, World's End, Copper Canyon Press publication, translated by William O'Daly. Truly, truly magnificent poetry. I want to end with a happy poem. In fact, the poem is titled When Happiness Comes. I wrote it for the occasion of the marriage, the wedding of my colleague and friend Jennifer Dorsey and her husband Michael. And I'd like to end the program with this poem. When happiness comes, we live for good surprises. We hold them with tentative breath, even as they hold us, even as they shape us. Much of life is struggle, a hypnotic dance with disappointment, but happiness also comes. At sunrise, a butterfly or a bee buzzing on a flower, bravely facing the sun. Or at sunset, as wind settles, you calm yourself, content with the happiness that fills you. Nothing compares. Nothing else matters. This balance we crave, this satisfaction that forces everything else into a fuzzy backdrop, a precious, ephemeral moment or two, these instances when eternal light shines pure and true. In this light we love and laugh, in this light we live. Happiness comes at the bend of a river, around the foothills in gray twilight, and we remember the days of our shared journey. When happiness comes, grab onto it. Grab onto it with both hands. That way, if one should slip, still you hold the other, touching forever that bliss that never can be untouched. That's for Jennifer and Michael. And for all of us who, from time to time, get a good surprise when happiness comes. I hope happiness comes your way. You can find information about my books, my events that I'm involved with, my work, kenhaida.org. Thank you for joining me. Until next week, I'm Ken Haida with the Sunday Poems.